Really?
Yeah. Yes, and it starts recording. I just learned it. Everyone's here.
Okay. No swearing.
No swearing.
Okay, call this meeting to order. Pledge of Allegiance. Matt.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, still under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, spell your last name for the record. If any, the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, it would be done by the chair or majority vote. Anybody got anything? Nope. Okay. Approval of minutes from last month's meeting.
They go on top and turn it on.
All right. Make a motion to accept.
Make a motion to accept
minutes.
Motion to approve. Accept.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Approval of agenda for tonight's meeting.
Make a motion to accept.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Indian Springs Library. Chet.
Hi, everyone. Just a few announcements. February kicks off our Library Lovers Month, which means we are continuing our partnership with the Vegas Golden Knights. This means that for the next few months, we're actually going to have bookmarks with different players on the front. On the back side, it has a list of their favorite books, music, and movies, along with a link to Chance's exclusive blog that you can only get through the library district. So make sure you stop by, these are free. Couple other things, February 25th through the 27th, the library is going to be closed from 2 to 3 for lunches. We only have one person available. We are also a couple of really cool things. Next month, starting towards March 18th through May 24th, we're actually going to have an art installation by Debbie Lambin. What she does is she takes used books and she creates book statues. So this is our first time actually getting one of these art installations. It'll be there for a couple months, so please be sure to stop by. A couple other things about that, she's actually going to have an opening reception on March 18th at the Clark County Library, and she will be doing workshops with the public. They are free, so make sure you stop by if you can. Information is on the website, but she'll be doing one at Clark County on March 18th. And Saturday, March 21st, and at the Whitney Library on Sunday, March 22nd. So it should be really, really cool. There's also going to be additional displays at Clark County, Rainbow, Whitney, and Mount Charleston Library. So if you happen to be in the vicinity, be sure you stop by, be sure you take a look. Other exciting news is sometime before July, we are working on getting a 3D printer. It will most likely be a MakerBot. throwing this out there because our goal is to have that 3D printer running all the time. The way the library district has done it, any job that is less than 4 hours, we will print for free. So please start browsing that. We would prefer to be printing things for you instead of printing things for us. So take a look on the MakerBot website. They do have a whole gallery of different projects that you can do. So you can start looking at that. And as soon as we get it up and running, I would love to start queuing up all of your requests. I think Census is supposed to be here tonight, so I won't talk too much about them, but we are an official partner for them. The reason why I'm telling you this is you'll start getting postcards from them with the website to fill out your census. If you would like, please remember that we do have public computers, we have laptops, and we have Wi-Fi if you want to bring in your own devices and grab a comfy seat. Any questions?
It's a load of information.
It is.
Right. Thank you, Jet.
Thank you.
Indian Springs Fire Department. No, Kahi. Nope.
No, Kahi, no Gary.
Nope.
Okay.
Metro.
Good evening, everyone. Matt Marlowe, Sergeant, Las Vegas Metro. So those of you that were here for the CERT presentation, the Citizens Emergency Response Team, I just talked with Teresa. Is there anybody here that's representing the High Desert Seniors? Nobody from High Desert. I don't know if we can coordinate with
that's
them.
That's
some of that is Doc. Okay. So there's two things we're talking about, Teresa and I were talking about, as well as the CERT program. It's critical, especially with the power outage that we had in Indian Springs a little bit ago. We all feel like it's critical to know folks that are homebound, may have issues getting warmth, getting, if they have machines that that help support them, oxygen, that kind of thing. Teresa's gonna start working on putting together a list of those folks that could use, in other words, how I envision this would be, a power outage happens, we have no idea when the power's gonna come back on. We'd have certain assignments for folks to either get them generators and or bring them to down here for warming station, et cetera, et cetera. So we're looking to look out for folks that don't have anybody that can look out for them. Now, along with that, there's a program called You Are Not Alone that Henderson Police Department has started, and I think it's started in California, where the CERT volunteers would have a list of folks that would like to be checked on maybe once a week. You just give them a phone call. Hey, how you doing? Everything okay? Is there anything we can do for you? Any groceries, any whatever. So that'd be the second phase. First phase, and most critical for us in law enforcement and the fire department, would be just a list of those folks that can't really help themselves if we have an extended issue with power, either during the hot months or the cold months or anything otherwise. So my email address, and I put it out before, but I want to give it to everyone again. If you have a pen, you want to copy it down. M is in Matt, 6204. M is in Marlowe, at lvmpd.com, like Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. So if you know of someone, now listen, we're not trying to make people uncomfortable. I'm not trying to get into people's medical business. That's not my business. It would just be some people that are willing to allow us to know that if there was an issue, we could come help them or send somebody, a team, to come help them. Like, hey, we can get you set up if they don't have immediate family. That's what I have. Is there any questions or comments for me? Yes, ma'am.
When are they doing the CERT training out here?
It's,
good question.
It's February 29th and March 1st.
So it's
It's
a two-day, all-day.
All-day.
And if you missed, you know, I'm kind of putting in a plug for the CERT program. So if you missed briefing, the introduction to that. The CERT program allows folks to volunteer their time, but it gives them training. So you get trained to, you know, put out small fires, like fire extinguisher type stuff. You get trained on what we're talking about putting through is PIC training. So if we had a traffic issue, Metro wants to be able to call you and say, hey, can you guys set up a traffic point intersection control and help us out with something if we had a major disaster? If there was sandbags that need to be done for floods or things like that, it's a volunteer citizens group. The neat thing about out here in the rural areas, what they can't do in town, is they do a free background check for you. Don't be scared. But the county will pay for it, but what that gets you is a name badge with
ID. County ID.
County ID. And so if they call you to a scene for something, then obviously you'd be allowed to be around whatever scene we've got going on in order to help out.
And it gives you liability insurance.
Right, it gets you liability insurance. So we can, as the CERT team out here, you could put together any kind of trainings that you can find, and Metro is more than willing to help out with any of the training that we can for you, and really have a contingent of folks here that can be called up in an emergency. We know what kind of material supplies are available, like generators we were talking about, and some other things that folks have at their disposal. We're not actually asking you to overextend yourself, but it is on a voluntary basis, but it's just helping your own community for all intents and purposes. And so if you missed the meeting, I suggest that you probably speak to Therese at least, and she can get you contact with, was it Mary? Who's the gal that came out here?
Don't ask.
Okay. I have to look at it every time.
Anyway, if you're interested in it and you missed it, it's worth Cheryl. It's worth listening to at least and kind of seeing what's available. If you're looking for some way to help your community, that seems like a really good way to do it.
Okay. Matt, a couple weeks ago I attended a church security workshop, if you will. And it was all about, protecting the church and, from whatever unknown, things that may happen that we've all seen across the nation over the last few years, especially. Is that something Metro, if I coordinated something with the Mormon Church, the Baptist Church, and Echoes of Faith, is that something you guys at Metro would be willing to come and kind of support us with and kind of give us your ideas as far as lockdowns, active shooter situations, things like that? Is that something you'd be willing to do?
Short answer, yes. What we have done is we've reached out to the churches here in my entire area, mm-hmm. compiled lists and protocols for what they plan on doing in those types of situations, like you're telling me. Obviously we can't force anybody to do anything in their own
sure.
domain. But if anybody's up for recommendations and willing to work, sure.
Okay, good. Because so far the response I've had is people are cautious in the sense of, that couldn't happen here in this little town. Well, that's where 50% of the incidents happen,
right.
is in rural towns. So, but there is a certain amount of interest, so I will get with you and see if we can coordinate something.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
I don't have any
stats
for it. I can get some
afterwards.
No.
When they see how many tickets, and I'm like, what's the thing?
I'll
have NHP.
That's what all I have are stats. So. Basically, for the month of January, we had about 680 contacts total. Out of those contacts, we wrote 716 tickets, love letters, if you want to call them, or whatever. So,
680 contacts and 716 tickets?
Yes, yeah, some got more than one.
That's not you.
Did you get one of those?
No. We have just over 50 broken down vehicles along the side of the road, and this includes the mountain for this part here. About 17 abandoned vehicles that we contacted. 13 crashes during the month of January. 7 of those were along US 95, though. One of those was a fatal down there toward the Snow Mountain area. 10 total arrests during the month. 3 of those were DUIs. One was a guy here at the center meeting. I know Dave Oliver was involved. Mm-hmm. The guy almost hit him, but he didn't. He just was drunk and dumb, so. That was it as far as upcoming info. I don't have anything for the next month, for March. April is the Sacred Peace Walk that you guys know all about every year. That's the first week from the 4th to the 10th. So just heads up to see those people walk along the side of the highway with their signs strung out over a mile stretch. So that's our annual fund for the Creech guys and Mercury too. So
when is that?
April 4th to the 10th. They start on the 4th, and so you'll see them probably the 5th or so.
We're not allowed to
do. You're not allowed to have
no. You are.
Not unless you want multiple tickets.
I don't think I
can. Questions?
Yeah. The Creech Gate over here, the traffic over there is getting pretty bad. And in the mornings, there's a situation that happens like all the time is a lot of people don't slow down. You'll have a group of cars coming through, and like you'll have most of them going 45, and then one going 70, and people are making that left turn. And
yeah, that's where a lot of our...
Every day, it's just like it's getting more and more people there. That something's got to be done there. Is there?
Yeah, something. A request has already been done. We work the highways. We don't control the signage, so we go to DOT. Our request has already been made to move the 45 sign farther down, so it slows it down even further. Not that that will slow cars down, but at least the signage is farther down. but you're right, because people slow down and they can't see that far, that left lane, and they come out and they've had a couple of crashes. So,
is it possible to get someone out there every once in a while around 5 to 8 in the morning when this is happening?
It is possible. It's just unless they get a call, that guy's gone. Basically, the math hours for me right now is I have Wednesday is my only double squad day, so basically the days only one guy on usually around that early in the morning. So he can be out there, yes, but if he gets called away to something, then it's going to open.
Because usually when I see law enforcement out there, it's not in the peak traffic time, it's outside of that.
Right. Well, our lull time as far as the calls is actually the middle of the day. So usually we're going to some other kind of motorist assist or something in the morning and actually afternoon. So, but I will note that, and I'll keep track of that. Tell my guys about it. I do notice that Creech, when they pull out in the afternoon, they have that acceleration lane, but they rarely use it. They come all the way out into the lane. So that's just something we're gonna have to notify Creech about. I don't know who the central person is out there. Just say, hey, just use that lane. So
yeah, that whole lane's a mess, and every month there's more people stationed there, right. Less. So it's right. Just getting worse.
I don't see DOT here, and I don't know a timeline, but there is a plan at Cold Creek to do the same thing, to make an acceleration lane and a turn lane. But again, I don't know when that's going to happen. I thought he would be here, but he's not. So when we do find out, we'll let you guys know.
Or maybe if they had one of those signs with the blinking LEDs around it, you know, to get people's attention.
On 95?
Yeah, around the 45 sign. And the yellow one, it says slow down and just...
And I will tell you, DOT, when for that kind of stuff, they're going to pull crash stats. And so I don't have the actual specific for that area. My thought is they're probably not going to do anything for the low number of stats we have so far, but we all know that's going to go up. So, But I will address it with the local guy as well as whoever the contact is and the DOT headquarters about that.
Okay.
Any questions?
Oh, I was just thinking about something. Recently, I saw a stop sign that had flashing red lights around it, just a regular stop sign, but the red lights were probably powered by solar. Couldn't somebody do a something for you to ask DOT, I guess, to see if they could do a slow or a 45 mile per hour sign
sure.
with the flashing lights?
Yeah. Okay. We can ask for anything. Will they give it to us or not? I don't know. But you're talking about from the 70 to the 45 zone, that's
yeah.
a reminder. Yeah. It's going to cut down on my tickets, though, because I said it was
Oh, right. Can I get one last soda? No,
yes, sir.
Goldville has that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen them around. In fact, in Las Vegas, I just got an email today about the digital messaging, DMS boards, whatever they call them. They're making changes to them where they'll have HOV on the left side in digital format. Speed on the side, they'll have like if a lane's open, it'll be green. If it's closed for a crash, whatever. So if you're going to Las Vegas, start looking for those to start activating and working.
On the 15, they have the LEDs on the side.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah, those are working. Just the overheads aren't up yet. Anything else? Okay.
Nope.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, fire department.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Fire Chief Joe with the Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. As you all know, we're very short on personnel. They're slowly trickling guys in from in town. So we're trying to urge everybody to anybody who wants to join, at least try to go through the program and become a firefighter. The other night we had the power outage. We spent a couple hours driving around trying to figure out what was going on. We had several dropped calls. I think it'd be a good plan to try to maybe get some kind of generator up here to in case something like this, because with that power being out for a long time, you got citizens who are on oxygen, dialysis, and this would be a good place to centralize them. What's that?
It was on the wish list that I submitted.
Okay. Fire department is also, along with the Parks and Rec, kind of spearheading the CERT program. We had about 19 members show up for a meeting the other night. We had a good turnout. I'm hoping we get more. we need at least 10 people to have this class. That's all I have for it. Anybody got any questions?
Yeah, there's other people that have that cert training.
If you have the cert training, you can bring your certificate up to Teresa. Teresa will get that certificate to
the
coordinator.
I know that the site offers it, and so there's people out here, and I don't know, there's people out here that have taken it.
Okay, here's the way it is. This is rural. The lady who runs this is rural. She works for Homeland Security, Clark County, all of that. You have to go through her because her section is the only one that gets the background and the badges. People in town don't get background, they get badges. They can't be a part of our cert. So they need to bring, like he's saying, they get a certificate for taking the class. Bring that to me. I can give them the paperwork to do the background check. Doesn't matter where you take the class, but once you bring the cert, you have to give it to her, and then she'll do the background and everything, and then you can be part of this cert team and get your badge.
Can I get her name?
It's in the office.
So, and then, yeah, you could, like she said, you can bring your cert up here. In order for anybody, for any cert members to get on any kind of scene that does happen, they have to have that background check and that card. So it's very pertinent to have that done.
So. Yeah, well, you have to do a background check and fingerprints. And then you'll get a Clark County volunteer badge. And then that's when you're officially a cert and you can be a part. Because what she says, I'm just telling you what she says, is they've got about 2,000 to 3,000 people in Las Vegas trained for CERT. None of them have been background checked, none of them have been badged. They're gonna go up to an emergency and the people are gonna tell them to go away because they don't have liability insurance, they don't have nothing. So that's why she's very adamant that everybody has to have the background and that, or they can't be part of it because she can't use you.
Yeah. She also specified that you had to have either the class, take one of the classes that are coming up, take it a previous class, and have an existing certification before you can take the background check.
Yes.
So those two things have to be done before you be submitted for the background check.
And if you don't have your certificate, but you know the date you took the class, like, take her a while, but she can probably track down your certificate.
I haven't taken it yet.
Well, I'm just saying.
In April. I know there's a bunch of people that...
All you have to do is bring that... they will give you a certificate. It's in your book at the end of the class. Mine's hanging on the wall. You can see what it looks like. And you bring that, and then you fill out. It's in the office. The background, and then you send it to her. Yeah, but yeah, it's you don't have to take the class here, but you have to do the follow-up information.
You have to register for here.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Yeah.
We own the team for this
for this area out here.
Right.
We're also trying to get Spearhead, like with Coal Creek, to go so we could have a search team up there and they come down here and we go up there, so on and so forth, since we all work together anyway. So.
Well, and he said he didn't, there's a lot of other things besides just the emergency that the search team can do. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things to make it safer, make it to help try to prevent catastrophes, and so it's at first, I didn't understand it, but I've been around this lady for a year, and I really understand the direction she's going in, and it's really good. But I'll give you all the information after.
Mike?
Yeah, if the guy still had his fire one and wanted to, like, go back on a fire department, do you have to do the elf and everything all over again?
No, you probably got to go do some classes.
Well, not me. I'm just someone.
You probably got to do, like, a lateral...
You don't have to go through ELF all over again?
You probably have to, well, it would be something like an ELF. It would be a lateral. They'll put you through their own little course. Coming back on? Anybody else have any questions for me?
Jan.
Jan.
Yeah, I remember it's been over 10 years ago. We put on the agenda the generator that will run this community center. I don't know what happened that... cause that kind of diminish or be put on the back burner. But I think it's very, very important that this community center, the community center, has a functioning generator that will supply the needs to this community and to our fire station. With this generator, it will help us with medical, you have a kitchen for food, you have heat and cool. These are all the necessary needs, especially for our seniors and our children. We have little children that are out there that sleep in the cold all night long in the dark. I'm sure everybody has a flashlight, but that's still frightening for a child. I'd like to see if we can't push this forward to try to bring this back on the agenda and bring this community generator back to this community center.
Right.
It shouldn't have to wait another 10 years.
Well, this request was made in October, so I put the request in.
Oh, no. It was made 10 years plus.
Right, it's been made every time. Yeah, every time it's come up, the request is made.
Is there any other
That's why I'm here, because this community needs that service in this community.
For Clark County to provide it?
No, that's the process.
Right.
If there's some other grant opportunities?
So we could look for a grant or a different avenue that might, which would be a grant. Some form of grant that would provide rural community power.
Or a benefactor who has
I got an idea for you.
There you go. That was
I said, I got an idea for you. The military surplus.
If, let's say we
they surplus
find
generators all the time. And then they
and we apply for it, we
transfer.
It. Can the county deny it?
You know,
or should we get
that's all
the
Metro got their helicopters.
We apply if we find one.
They don't have to pay for it. It's just transfer.
Okay.
The paperwork is transferred
so
from one
to
another.
Normally, it would be at least if you got something like that, it would count as a donation to the county.
Right.
We'd have to
do it. Yeah.
So I can't imagine they'd say, "Oh no, we're not going to have to."
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, there's generators at the school. It would just need to be a collaborative effort. Someone would have to go and talk to them.
This is actually the Red Cross Emergency Center.
Even so.
I'm just saying, why I don't know why Red Cross
idea,
can't help us
in
get.
In the interim, before it actually
I'm
happens.
I'm going to.
Someone should probably go talk to us.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Go ahead, Jan.
Yes, please, on the on CDAC. I'm well aware of CDAC. I was on committee for 2 years or more. And that grant funding, we might be able to run that through CDAC to see if we could get the extra funding for this community for that generator. Now, other than that, we might have to stretch out to the community in Las Vegas included and community to see if we can get funding donated to us to get that generator. I know we looked into it and we looked at the cost of it. I'm just hoping that we can get it going forward.
Does anybody else have any questions?
I don't have any
questions,
Gary.
Sorry for opening up a can of worms.
You are not.
Just
so
that you know, I put that out on base that we need help. The airmen and stuff.
Somebody give me a call.
I will.
Thank you. Back on the generator issue.
What about, I'll get in trouble for saying this, don't put my name on this, the election department. Now that the county election department has moved to mobile units and now you can vote everywhere, all those mobile units are generators. Mm-hmm. They're all mobile generators. But the only time those generators are...
Those are small, anyway.
Wrong this kind
is,
of generator.
Yeah.
This what is kind of generator are like?
One of those great big ones? It's not like a trailer?
You can be big as you want it, but it's not three phase. It won't be just building. It's a different setup.
Yeah. You know what? Let me throw a little something else out there. I have a meeting next week.
Okay, hold.
Right. I have a meeting next week with NV Energy, and they are asking for ways that they can better engage with the rural communities because I have told them point blank that they are not very good at working with our rural communities.
No.
Let me start with that.
Okay, so you have a meeting next week?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen in the news or whatever that they're doing, it's called a PSOM, and they're planned outages on the mountain in response to the fires in Paradise and all the fires in California. They are going to, if the weather conditions are right for a forest fire, they're going to shut off the power of the whole mountain.
So they're going to start fires and kill people like
no.
they did in California?
They're going to turn off the power so in case the fire starts.
So it means if the soil and stuff is dry enough, if the winds are high enough, and there's one other thing. But so they have talked about when they have outages up there, possibly bringing up a generator or having a comfort station. So, right. So,
Vegas is close,
before you spend too much time on anything else, let me talk
so we'll start with NV Energy, and you'll talk to them.
Right. Because they know when an outage happens. We know they know, because they text us and tell us. So if they had to mobilize something, I would think the most would be an hour to get it here. So let me start there.
Start with that.
Well, and I know they have a big generator like that that can run multiple homes, because do you remember summer before last when all the outages were happening in Sandy Valley? They brought a generator down there that ran our whole neighborhood. So I'll look into that.
Okay, so you'll look into that. Okay, cool.
Yes. We don't need temporary. We need permanent. We need to know that that's going to kick on the minute there's no power. We don't need them to bring in a generator for a temporary service and then take it away, because then it'll take them hours the next time the community goes down to not have any place that is secure for with the generator that's going to provide service for the community.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to find an opportunity that this generator would be provided. Right now, there's no other opportunity. So I'm going to try to take this opportunity right now. And I think one that could be here within an hour of an emergency would be better than nothing.
Well, that is very true. That is very true. But we need to work on getting something permanent. We have a permanent one right out here that runs that tower. That kicks on when there's no power. It runs that emergency service tower that has all of our communication center on it. We need something that's addition to that to run this community center. Our fire department can't open up their doors to get out. They just have to go up there and they have to manually open the door.
Right. I understand that. No fire station in Clark County has a generator. So
it's not just the fire department, we're just connected. We're to the police department, the fire department, and the community center, the library.
I live in a rural area too. I understand that. I understand all the concerns, and so I'm going to try to make it happen.
Thank you.
Do you have questions?
No.
No?
I've got some information for you.
Oh, you do?
Well, you all can go find a generator. You might get one tomorrow. You might wheel right up. You might set right next to this.
Well, you tell me what I need
but
to do.
But until you get the connections on the building, you can't do anything with that generator. So now you got to talk to the county department about modifying the building, the power company about allowing it to be modified. Those are two different avenues right there.
Okay.
So that's something you might want to make note of.
If we were to get a generator donated, I can't promise it, but I think I could get the work done that would be needed to use that generator.
It's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right.
That's
huge.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a switch. And the power company's going to allow it. It's going to have to be a certain type of switch that will terminate when their power comes back on. It has to wait a moment because they both have to be going at the same time.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that the county, they'll bring in an outside agency to do all of our electrical. That's what they always do. Our county people don't do the work. They bring in... Well, everybody out there has always been outside.
You just have to have that thing initiated before that generator does anything for you.
Yeah, but if she goes in and says, I have a generator, we need this, that's an okay.
That's
Yeah, she knows how to work county.
It's big. That's something that would cost a lot of money.
Okay, Darren.
When you had that meeting with NV Energy,
uh-huh.
Could you ask them to come out next month and put it on the agenda for them to explain their rule, whatever it is that they want to help us out with?
Well, we're getting together to come up with a plan, so there is no plan yet. So when we have a plan, they will absolutely come out.
Right. Thank you.
What are you talking about? Another option that's available. If this building was equipped with a quick connect and a transfer switch and a cutoff switch, the people I work for have generators that will power this building, no problem, and you can have MOUs to have a generator brought over here in a matter of minutes. The thing would be that this building would have to be able to accept the generator, and that's another option too, would be able to get the building retrofitted for that and set up a MOU to have that happen, and there's already stuff in place for things like that. Might be a quicker way to do it.
Well, I am hopeful that NV Energy will help us, and then if not, we'll pursue other avenues.
So the work has to be done on the building first?
No.
Well, no. Clark County's not going to pay to do work on a building if there's not a reason.
Yeah.
So,
they have to
so
have
yeah,
a generator.
If I find out that somehow a generator has been magically gifted to us, I'll be working with RPM to get them to come out and do the work.
Was that put on the wish list? A new community center?
It's not a new,
community center. A new community center or updated community center?
No.
It was built in 86.
No.
Your community center is fantastic.
It's great, but it's not like Bob Price Community Center that's up to
date.
Well,
you have about 1,200 people, and they have 350,000.
Right. The building was built in 1986.
There's nothing wrong with the building. What they're wanting to update what we have. That's an update to the building. That's not build a whole new building.
Okay. Well,
and that's what they're talking about
renovated.
Doing. Right, and they said
different avenue, Darren.
On the wish list,
completely different avenue.
No, retro. The generator was put on the wish list. Will you let me finish, and then you'll hear the whole thing, okay? The generator was put on the wish list. If we get a generator, then the building, they'll spend the money to upgrade the building, but they're not going to spend thousands of dollars to upgrade the building when they don't have the generator. So that is all
there's
been on.
There's other upgrades that can be done also, just besides the generator fitting.
Like
we
what?
Need the other upgrades.
Like what?
Okay,
that's a whole other subject.
We're driving off a completely different. Darren?
No.
We're
no.
driving off a completely different course here. It's you're completely out of subject here. We need to stick to the subject at hand. Okay?
All right.
Anything else?
Creech Air Force Base. Nobody? Clark County Parks and Rec.
Hi. So, I wanted to tell you, and don't ask me what it's about. If you want to know, all I know is there's a flyer over there, but the Nellis Joint Land, you might be able to give it, is coming out again next Wednesday on the 19th. They're having another meeting. They sent me a flyer.
Nellis Joint Land.
What? The Nellis Joint Land thing.
Land uses.
Yeah.
Designation of the property along the side of the highway here that they.
You're the one that sent them to me, so I thought you might know what it is. I don't know what it's about. I printed out the flyers, and they will be here next Wednesday. It's called the Nellis Joint Land. What's the rest of the word?
The Joint Land Use
Impact Statement.
Group.
Isn't that where base housing was?
No. Joint Land Use Study. They're going to be here, like I said, don't ask me what it is. They're going to be here next Wednesday.
Okay, I didn't send it to you.
You sent me the guy.
Teresa, what is it?
Long, long time ago. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it is.
Hold on.
They've already been here once.
This will address compatibility issues related to military installations in the community. Please join us to learn more about the JLUS and provide input on the compatibility issues that have been identified so far, as well as to identify any issues not yet considered. Now, I know one issue that has been brought up in the past is Big Voice. So, and that was called?
No, they don't, what did they talk about the last time we were here? It wasn't at all what we thought it was going to be.
No, the last time they were here, they were talking about the reacquisition of all this land along the side of the highway that was defined as BLM usage or military usage. And they took the military, assumed and took back control of all this doggone land along the highway so that it's no longer BLM or the other way.
Right. And so my understanding would be, and I don't know about this, but my understanding from my planning background is they're wanting to talk to you guys about the impacts of a military installation on your way of life.
So
and
what
that, if they've taken over that land, probably what the future of that land would look like. What would you want there? What would you not want there? So
what time are they meeting?
Can you make some copies of the flyer?
Tuesday, February 18th, 4 to 7 p.m. Oh, it's in town. Oh, that's Clark County. Sorry.
Six.
Indian Springs.
Indian Springs. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wednesday, February 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. right here.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Everybody who came to the meeting last time, totally believed that's what it was. It wasn't. It's very confusing. So you need to come. If you're interested in what it's about, you need to be here. because
be here
yes.
or in town?
Here.
Next.
Okay.
Next Wednesday.
So the person that is the contact on here is the planning manager for Clark County. So I will talk to him. I will get a little more information, and I will put it on the Facebook page.
That's fine. All I'm saying is don't ask me if you're interested. You need to be here to ask them. Because everybody wants me to explain it, and it was not what I thought it was. So, if you guys are interested in all what it's about, the flyers are there, and just make sure you're here to talk to them.
I just wanted to throw out, if you, Creech comes out to all these meetings and they give us a little update on what Creech is doing. This thing is the Nellis Complex Land Use Plan. This is what has, like, if you go to this website, it talks about 70,000 people that they're bringing out and how they're planning on doing it. So this is the land use. And on this flyer down here is a website, Nellis Complex, JLUS. It has all the information on that website. And one of the things on that site, it says as part of this program, they're only going to have 3 meetings. They had one July of last year. This one is the second meeting. So it was the before, the during, and the end.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So
you need
this
to
is
be
a
here.
A big meeting to be at, because this is considered the middle. But this website down here has a lot of information that, to my knowledge, nobody's told us about.
Yeah, they did. The last time they were here, they printed stuff out. There was a handful of people that showed up. That's why I'm saying, don't ask me what it's about. You need to be here. This isn't one of those things that, so what happened at that meeting? No.
Yeah,
if you have any desire to know what it's about, you need to be here. Because I'm not going to tell you what it's about. Because my interpretation, me and my husband both had a different interpretation of the meeting. Okay? We both sat through it. So if you're interested, be here. That's all I have to say. I just wanted you to know it was happening.
So from the website, it says, this set of public workshops will provide an update on the JLUS project. Progress, showcase the military mission operational footprints, and allow the public an opportunity to provide input on the importance of each compatibility issue that has been identified through the JLUS process. So I imagine at the first meeting, first set of meetings, maybe not this particular one, but first set of meetings, if it's like other planning processes that I've been involved in, they identified some problems or some concerns. And now they're probably looking at possible solutions or how it's going to be worked into the plan, and they're giving you an update on where the plan is going, where it's going to be.
Maybe there's an impact that. Statement also to higher-ups or whatever that is sent out to.
Okay, so baseball is starting. Practice has already started. The car wash that they have every year, look on the 20th this month, look, start looking for the flyer. The car wash is held at Pioneer on March 7th. Car wash and bake sale. Opening day is March 21st. Okay, so they'll have their parade. One thing is we did change the games to be back in the evening. They're not in the morning anymore. So you'll be seeing the lights up, and fire department will have concessions going, so if you don't want to cook on Saturday, come up and let Gary cook for you. Bingo's on the 27th. The other thing, the Baptist Church is bringing back the produce, which I don't know if you guys know what that is. It used to come to the Mormon Church. Sometimes there's potatoes, onions, fruits, carrots, there's all kinds of stuff. Just, it's different all the time. The Baptist Church is bringing it back. And they're going to start giving it out on the third Thursday of the month. So they will be starting Wednesday. I apologize. They'll be starting next Wednesday. I don't know their exact date times. I know it's on the Facebook. I think she said it's from 9 to 11. And then I want to say 1 to 3. But what they're doing different is once that day's done, they're going to bring the food here. And the food will be out in the corridor for people to come get. It's free. You don't have to show ID. You don't have to show you go to that church.
You didn't have to go to the Mormon church either.
I know. I'm just going through the whole thing. So people who are new don't know what it is. So I'm just saying, keep a look on that. It's going to start on the third Wednesday of every month. And then after that, they will bring it here and it will be out in the hallway. So.
Good deal.
Yeah. And I think that is
And all. Everybody's welcome to.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it doesn't matter what church, doesn't matter anything, you don't have to show ID.
Reason if it's at the Mormon church, it's because they had a bigger parking lot.
Yeah, but the one thing I like is the Baptist church is going to be open just a little longer, so it makes it easier.
Well, the guy worked right here.
Okay.
Wow. I didn't mean anything negative.
No, it's all right.
And then I like that they're bringing it here, and it will be here for people to come. So you're not locked into those small time frames.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
High Desert Seniors. Anybody? No? No, Doug? No.
I don't have a clue.
We don't have nobody from the school. Nope. Megan, you're up.
I don't have a whole lot. I've been out for a little bit, so I'm still catching back up. I did meet with Terribles, with Bentar Construction, the head of Bentar Construction yesterday, and they will be closing the gas station next week. I know there's been rumors about that.
Sunday is supposed to be the last day.
I wanted to get the real story, and he said next week they want to move on it as quickly as possible. So they are moving ahead, and they understand that it's going to be a disruption to the guys, and they're very aware of that, so they're going to get going as soon as possible. Yeah.
Monday at 6 p.m. AM, because I just talked to my mom because I work there, and she said Monday at 6 a.m.
Okay.
Because I'm not closing the doors.
Okay.
And there are some new exciting things coming for the complex there, but they haven't released them yet, so as soon as I am able to tell you, I'll tell you, but they're going to be there to look forward to. and the Family Dollar is open, and I'm gonna stop on my way out. What time is it closed?
You guys?
Nine.
Okay, well, hurry up.
We all know this.
Okay, hurry up. So go. And you guys got yours before Sandy Valley got ours, because we lost ours, but it's coming back. So that's okay. So I'll see what I've got. So that's really all I have. Unless there's any questions.
I keep getting asked what's going to happen about the cleanup.
Services. Yeah. So I need to sit down and meet with the Director of Public Services, not Director, but the
person
I work with. We're going to have to figure out a plan. So we'll do that. I know people have been asking.
So it's coming in the works.
Absolutely.
But the monthly thing is not happening.
We can't.
That's what I told. No, that's what I'm telling
and
people.
Stings, believe me, it stings because they, but they got cited by Health District, and I went and met with the Health District, and let me tell you, there is no way of sweet talking them into changing their rules. It doesn't work. I tried. I thought outside the box. I said, what if we just don't call it a cleanup, and they just won't do it. And unfortunately, Republic. The fines would just mount every time. So we're going to try to find a solution. One of the things we talked about was having a special day where they would just bring the truck to your house and put the stuff in instead of having you bring it to dumpsters. So there's, I'm thinking the solution's probably going to be better than trucking your own stuff there, but we'll see, and I'll get on that.
What happens is putting the heavy stuff out there, and they
fix
it up.
They still do.
Yeah, okay, I
thought.
Both
every other week.
And that's always been kind of a mystery to me, because they'll pick up anything. Mm-hmm. You leave it on a couch.
Pretty much.
I think there's certain things like refrigerators, because it has Freon.
Yeah.
Things like that. But, so, if your neighbors don't know, tell them. Put your stuff out. Every day, every pickup is both pickup.
Yeah. Every other.
If it's branches, it has to be bundled. If it's this, and people don't, you're supposed, I'm just saying, that's my guess, where when it's the dumpster, they could just put it in their big machine and dump it.
In all honesty, we have trimmed our trees out there, and we just stick the branches in the dumpster.
Well, it's contained, exactly, it's
and
contained.
And it looks terrible, like it's sticking out all over the place.
But it's contained.
Yeah.
It's not just thrown out there.
It's not just out. out there, but.
So let's start with that word of mouth. Please let everybody know. You put it out, they'll take it for the most part. So
or it mysteriously disappear.
So maybe that will cut down on the need, because if people know that, then maybe that'll make it easier. And I'm going to work with them on a solution, and I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what their capabilities are, so we'll figure something out.
Is it not possible to go back to the regular cleanup day? Well, then they need to bring a transfer station, like they said, to begin with. I mean, they said that they would do something.
They are going to.
So what I'm telling everybody is we're not going to have monthly. As soon as you get the details worked out, we'll know.
It may be monthly, but it may look different. Like I'm saying, maybe a truck coming around. I don't know.
I need to have very simplistic answers, so I'm just going to say we don't know.
Yeah, we're a simplistic people.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're simplistic. I'm saying I don't want them to ask any questions because I don't have any answers, so I want it to be.
Well, you have my number, so you do have that answer. Yes, Karen.
Crosswalks in this community. There's one that's on Clark Lane in Mid Street. That is, the signs have been removed or hit or gone from it. There's no signage on it. And I understand that there has to be like an engineering process to establish if there is like marked crosswalks on the road. Can we get that, can we start that process to get that study or whatever going in our town?
I would need specific locations. If it's at intersections.
They're implied, they're implied.
Matt, isn't, at an intersection, a crosswalk isn't necessary because it's implied that people are crossing at an intersection.
One more time. Without a crosswalk marked there?
Yes.
It's implied.
Because I just went through this with Blue Diamond, and Clark County would not put crosswalks at intersections because it's like not understood, but it's
implied.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea. I can look it up, but I know that if you
listen
cross.
To you. Help
I know,
me.
I know if you cross where there's a crosswalk provided and you cross other than that, then yeah, you can decide where it's going. Have you done that out here?
Well,
but
there's only
one crosswalk, two crosswalks in town. So
to the school.
If you, well, there's one at school and there's one at McFarland and.
And the Clark Lane. Going from the oasis to nothing, but there's the markings are on the ground.
Okay, so are there certain locations that people think there should be crosswalks?
I think he was asking for
just with our new development stuff for pedestrian safety.
Okay, what crosswalk are you referring to?
The painted one that's on Clark Lane.
Not the painted one. Like, tell me what the intersections are, the roads where there's a crosswalk. Just because there's an old paint doesn't mean that there's an established crosswalk there. So is there a crosswalk that was painted back in 1986 when they built the community center and that's what you're referring to, or is it a crosswalk that's actually at an intersection?
The one I'm referring to is on Clark Lane.
Okay, I made the note of the one on Clark Lane. They're not going to
come out
here.
They didn't have signs ahead or behind.
And I made that note.
Okay.
Clark County is against an engineer down here to study the whole town to look for where there maybe should be a crosswalk. If you have certain spots, like in Blue Diamond, they gave me a list of places that they were concerned. I was able to say, hey, could we have crosswalks at these locations? And all of them, they said no because they were intersections except one, and they're looking at it.
There should be one right there on the Family Dollar in the store.
Like across
the
Carvery?
Yeah, so when they walk across to go to the store or Family Dollar instead of cutting through the.
I'll have to look, that's a good idea. I'll have to look at the plans and see if that was required. Maybe they haven't done it yet.
But could they even put one there? They're coming off the highway. Could they even put in a crosswalk by highway traffic?
Well, it'd be the frontage road. Between the frontage road, because it's another intersection, still a vehicle has to yield to pedestrians at the intersection. If it's off the highway, you're right, they won't do it, but there's a frontage road that kind of provides a buffer between the highway and the.
Because she's saying between the gas station and the. That goes right across where there's like three or four lanes now, and everybody just flies like
just
through.
Just because there's people, I see people coming from my store going over to Canada or
mm-hmm.
to the store.
And they just run.
Right. No,
yep.
You can speed through right there.
Well, there is a crosswalk. down the block by Pioneer, so they have to do what everybody in Vegas has to do, is walk down the road, go across the crosswalk, and come up the road.
But I would say, if you were getting gas, and you didn't live here,
that's what
if you
were
getting gas and said, oh, I forgot paper plates for our picnic, and you're going to go across, they don't know that there's one at Pioneer. So
yeah.
So I'll put that one in.
From well, I thought that Jim said, what he said was, it's...
Well, bring this up. I sat there in front of the dollar store the other night for 15 minutes. I was waiting for somebody. Nine people ran a stop sign. One stopped.
How we go,
cars.
You want me to put the hammer down again?
Coming
off the highway. What you asked for?
Yeah. I know. One car came off the freeway. Going across to the gas station, stuff like that. People coming from the gas.
They just don't stop.
They got to stop. But they're coming out. They're trying to make that turn. Here comes a guy coming off the freeway. Here comes a guy from the post office. You got three cars right there. In one moment, don't want to yield.
You have two stop signs. So the guy coming off the highway has the right. The guy coming off the highway has to come in. We still have to stop.
Yeah.
Stop signs mean stop signs no matter where you live. So I don't understand why they're already there.
They'll get back to you in 2030.
Another specific intersection or mid street for a crosswalk on Boulder. There's a trailer park, and then it goes to the other side of the street, and it's vacant. Everybody uses that to cut through to the Oasis. That might be a good
Boulder
spot.
And what?
Mid street. I don't know the address.
He's saying they're using the block to cut through a piece of land to get to the other block. So you can't, it's somebody's land probably, so we can't put.
There's a trail through.
But it, that doesn't mean it's not somebody's property who hasn't said anything yet. They just don't.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, something else, Megan?
No.
Okay. Planning and Zoning, WS-19-0913, Beezer Homes Holdings, waiver of development standards for reduced sidewalk setback, street setback on 0.01 acres in RT, manufactured home residential zone, generally located south side of Dawson Falls Avenue and the east side of Horseshoe Falls Street within Indian Springs.
Okay.
You have the stage.
Good evening, I'm Josh Owen. I'm here for Beezer Homes. We're requesting a waiver for this lot 56. It's internal to the project. It's a corner lot. The corner lot usually requires a 10-foot side yard. We are able to provide 5, and so we'd like to request a waiver for that. It's due to the odd shape of the lot that we don't quite make it. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
That's the very, very last one closest to the highway.
No, it's in the middle of the subdivision. Well, not quite in the middle, but it is internal to the subdivision right here.
Would that sort the highway side?
Yes, highway's right here.
What are you looking to do, cut off the sidewalk?
Nope, sidewalk's still there. It's it'll still have a 5-foot side yard, which all of the other internal lots have. It is a county code to give 10 feet, I think partially because of traffic and being near a street, but there is, being internal to the subdivision, it's only going to be local neighborhood traffic in this area only, so I don't think it's going to affect.
It doesn't affect the town, it only affects the people that live in that corner.
Yeah, who buys that lot?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a reduced price?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Approved.
Yeah, I don't see a problem about this. Okay.
That's our T-zone?
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion to approve this.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You have it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The street that you have going next to it, all the way over.
That's not a street.
Yeah, this right here?
That's next to Pioneer.
Yeah, this is a easement. It's a drainage easement that was there previously. It is mostly dry and for access for sewer up here.
Is that going to be left a road?
It's going to be gravel. The gravel road, and then road? The access will actually, because it's a county public easement, we have to restrict access to it. So there'll be removable bollards here.
At Winston?
Boulder.
My question is where that, I'm going to call it a road, is where that road is now. We used to cheat, take that road, go through the little wash so we could get to the gas station. And y'all have it taped off. Is that going to be open to us?
So don't do it anymore.
No, he just said they're going to block it off.
Yeah, I think it's going to be blocked.
It's not a road. It never was.
Well, first of all, that's private property.
Yeah, it wasn't a road.
If a person were to do that, they would be trespassing. So, but
stop it.
The gas station, I don't know that you'll even have access that way anymore.
Yeah.
And then the road between Pioneer and this development. What's the plan for that? That's going to be gravel.
This area here?
He just told you.
Yeah, it's going to be gravel.
But it's not a road.
It's not a road.
It's not a road.
It's
easement.
Public access. Don't drive there anymore.
To drive on.
Yeah. Right.
It's called an access road.
No, it's an easement
and sewer if they need to get in there. But that's it.
It's not an access road.
And you can see it.
It's not for public access.
So, finish my question. It is a road at the moment. It's going to be blocked at Winston, so there's not going to be traffic going up and down that road after y'all are done.
Correct. It'll be blocked at either end.
Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Yes. And part of that was also a requirement because it is a public easement. It was required of us to control access to it.
That was my question. Once you guys are done, if that road goes kind of sort of back to how it was.
It's not a road.
Back to the easement.
So the entrance to that development is going to be from
Boulder.
Boulder.
Boulder Lane.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, general business, Nevada Rural Housing Authority, Salvatore Martinez on Energy Efficiency Program for Rural Nevada.
How you guys doing?
My
name is Sonny Martinez. I actually work for the Nevada Rural Housing Authority. I am an energy auditor and a quality control inspector for the state of Nevada. What we do in our company, I got to start real quick by saying this, guys. You guys are awesome. Me and my wife just fell in love with you guys.
We
have
both seen you.
That was just pretty cool. I've never been to a meeting like this before, so I'm kind of nervous. But just real quick, we offer a program. It is actually for low income housing, and we drove through here. This is actually our work area, so I drive through here all the time, and I told my bosses, you know, there's a whole community over there that we could possibly help out, you know what I mean? And what we do, guys, is we basically run some tests on each home and try to figure out what we can do to make it more energy efficient. Now, some of the things that we offer are air conditioning units, an entire HVAC system. We can do duct systems. I noticed that you guys have a lot of mobile homes out there. Those are kind of easy to do. We offer like roof coating as part of an insulation measure. There's all kinds of things. We got shower heads, we got light bulbs, attic insulation for homes. What else? Water heaters. Most of the higher end things that we do would be the roof coating, the HVAC system, the water heater, attic insulation, and those are the more higher cost things that would actually save you more money. There's also solar screens that we offer, and those things they're basically created to keep about 80% of the heat coming in from the outside into your home, which in you know what it does is it causes your HVAC system to not operate as much, saving you a little bit of money on your power bills and everything. And we just found out that because you guys use NV Energy, we have like four or five different funding sources, guys, that we can use for home. And
it is absolutely no cost. And you don't have to be a homeowner, from my understanding. You can be a renter.
Yes.
As long as the owner agrees.
Yes.
You come out, you do your evaluation, you say, this is what we want to do.
Yes.
You get the money, they give you access.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Yeah. It's real simple, guys. I mean, I brought some applications. I understand that we're on your Facebook page, and we got a flyer up here. We haven't really got any phone calls yet, but the cutoff date for the end of this fiscal year is going to be June 30th. And so we have all this money that we need to spend, and I would really like to spend a lot of it here. So if you guys can kind of spread the word, let people know. It is income-based. It is for lower-income homes and stuff like that. I actually have some of the numbers of how to qualify, you know, the income levels
the chart
and everything.
Yeah.
And so if you guys are interested, I have that. I'm going to leave some applications here.
Can you leave the chart here?
I'm sorry?
Can you leave the chart, or can
yeah.
I make a copy?
No, I'll leave it here. I'll give it to you. And but yeah, it's just wanted to offer, you know, let you guys know that we are here. We do want to help some people, and you know, it's one of the greatest feelings. I love my job. I'm going to say this: I really love my job because I'm able to give people free stuff, and it feels really good that somebody, you know, especially in the summertime, guys. When here, you guys know it gets hot. You know, I've only been in Vegas for about 4.5 years, and it gets hot here. You know, so and we get a lot of phone calls because right around this time, when people start to use their air conditioners, they go out. And so I love getting those phone calls saying, "Hey, my AC doesn't work. I'll be right over. We'll see what we can do by getting you a new one." So yeah, just spread the word. Let anybody that you know. You have any questions?
Is this something that will again happen next year, or once the grant's done, we won't know till next year if it happens
again?
The way
that each funding source it works is you can get weatherized once every 5 years.
Right.
But we find a little trick. So because you use NV Energy, like I said, there's different funding sources that we can use. We can actually weatherize a home with this certain funding source and say, you know, after that, if you have a newer AC unit, I don't know if you guys know this, but they go by SEER ratings, seasonal energy efficiency ratings, and a lot of them I've looked at, they're kind of older, you know, so they're a bad SEER rating would be like an 8, but we want to put a 14 in there, which is way, way more efficient than trying to run an 8 SEER.
Right.
8 SEER is going to run and run and run and run and run trying to cool your house. A 14 SEER will run, cool your house, and then shut off. And so when those things start to go out, we want to replace them,
right.
But there's certain criteria for us to be able to replace it.
Right.
It has to be 15 years old. We're trying to change that. It has to be 15 years old, or when we send a contractor out, they can let us know, well, you know what, it's not even worth fixing this thing. I know it's, you know, it's maybe a newer model, maybe a 2010, 2014, but it's not worth fixing. You might as well just replace it. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them to give us that kind of information so that we can just throw a whole new unit in there. And so, you know, and like I was saying, once summer starts, these things start to go out. So say we go to a house, they have a fairly newer unit operating. Well, summertime comes around, they turn it on. They've already been weatherized. We use this certain funding source. But then, you know, 6 months later, well, now my air conditioner went out. Well, now what we can do is we can use a different funding source so that we don't have to wait that 5 years to go back.
So the one grant is up in June, but you still have funding sources.
All of them are up in June. All okay. of them, yeah.
But they'll renew.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
But we want to use it before it's
yes.
up.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just let your neighbors know. Yes, sir.
Your contact information.
Absolutely.
There's some flyers over there.
Absolutely.
And it's got his phone number on the bottom.
Okay, good.
You know, like I said, I'll leave some applications if you guys want to. If you know somebody that, you know, that's not here and...
You're not from the
most of the time it's these, you know, elderly ladies that, that, you know, are living on Social Security. Those are the ones that we really want to help, guys, you know. So if you guys know anybody, hand them an application, let them fill that out, bring it in or email it to us or whatever, so that we can get that ball rolling and get them some new stuff. Amen?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm trying.
Okay.
I think this is a great program.
We don't want to go into
that. No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
All right. Review the 2020 meeting schedule and make any changes for possible action.
Megan?
You got schedule?
Yes. You guys are the only ones that have no changes due to holidays or anything. So this would be the opportunity if you wanted to, you know, cancel any meetings or anything, or to change the time of the meeting. But if you're good to go, then we're
no,
good.
No, I think time's pretty good. It's
okay.
Much better earlier.
We're good.
Everybody good?
Yep.
Yep. Well, we'll leave that
open. We
don't
open know what's going to be there.
What happens?
Right now.
July's kind of the same way, you know. Okay.
Census.
Representative from 2020 Census will share information.
I think you have an action.
Oh, I'm not sure.
No?
It's for possible action information.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Anybody here from the Census?
Census? Anyone?
Census Bureau? Okay, next.
Next, no. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Here it says 12.
Comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the podium. Clearly state your name and address. Spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, it will be done by the chair or majority vote. Anybody got anything new, different, anything? Go ahead,
yes.
Sandy.
Manager at the Snow Mountain Smoke Shop. I know that the store is going to get closed, but I wanted to inform everybody that also the smoke shop is going to be closed down for 10 days. Not the store, but the gas.
What's up with the gas?
I don't know exactly when at this time, but it will be closed for 10 days, and I'll put it on
the Facebook.
Yeah, Indian Springs Community Facebook. So that way people can plan a little bit better.
Get a couple gas cans.
Thank you.
And if you need gas, I'm selling 10 bucks a gallon.
I have something real quick. Hold on. We're not. Sorry. Hold on. Megan, sorry, I don't know if this is the right spot, but when you go to NV Energy, I've talked to people who have had trouble getting them to come out and do an energy audit because we're in a rural area and they tell us they don't want to come out pretty much. So if they're trying to repair or improve relationships with rural areas, could we have some energy audits?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
That's one thing everybody was saying, their power bill went up the past couple months.
Yeah,
we want to.
And without being able
to
get the audit.
Yeah, I know that they lost the power. I think Mother Nature had a bit of a.
Yeah,
but the thing is, the last time the power went out was November or something like that. Went out at 1 in the morning.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Didn't come out till 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. The last time before that, it was like 107 out. It was out all day. It only happens when it's really cold or really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been happening for 30 years since I've been here.
I
want them to explain why this keeps happening, why they can't fix this problem.
There's a really easy answer to that. Indian Springs and some communities like Indian Springs, we just don't have that many customers. We have the oldest type of power system in the nation, and therein lies the problem. So we're in this weird little peninsula between Sandy, that most Sandy Valley, Valley Electric, and NV Energy. So NV Energy just
they're still servicing us, but it's really not very convenient. And for them to update our power grid or our power system, the way the power system is out here, for them to update it, it just wouldn't be cost effective. They came and spoke to the town board about it a couple years ago. And we had some, well, I mean, my dad was here, who was a lineman for years. John McKee was here, who was a lineman in the energy for years. And that's really what it comes right down to. They do update things as they, or they don't update things, they fix things as they come, but they would have to put in a whole new system for the entire town. And it just,
we just get screwed.
So,
we just pay our bills and we just get screwed. I mean,
so maybe we should go back to when it was first installed and pay those rates.
Instead of getting ripped off every month.
Look, look, there's power poles in this town that have transformers on them that are burned halfway through and have a 4x4 bolted into it in hopes that it holds. It's insane.
But there's also, I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, there are some parts of the system that can't really be, that can't be fixed except with used parts, because this is such an old system. Eventually, they're going to have to upgrade, and the way to get that done is with growth. Approving land, you know, approving user homes requests, and having more growth out here. Because let's face it, they're in the business of making money, just like all business. They have to make money too, and frankly, we don't provide a lot. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but that's the thing.
Well, I will say thank you for the information.
To ask for this meeting, so I will bend their ear. Don't worry.
Thank you.
What about the apartments? Any word on the apartments?
Not yet. He was here last week.
There's a street light out at Sky and Fisher.
All right.
Okay. Next meeting date, March 12th. 6:30. Thank you for coming. Meeting adjourned. See ya.
We're gonna run out of antique Pixar power. You know, like with the little cards and stuff.